Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Women Leading the Way Radio Show, where each time you'll hear from successful women CEOs, executives, and professionals, where we'll discover how they do what they do to be successful in business. We'll be interviewing women who have overcome big challenges, women who have incredible stories of lessons learned in dealing with adversity. We'll even interview women who have started and grown successful organizations and women who are C-level executives with unique talents and positions. Our goal is to bring successful businesswomen together to share how they're leading the way in business today. Well, good morning, everyone. I'm Michelle Berquist, your host for Women Leading the Way Radio Show. And with us today, our very own leading lady is Cecile Burriel, who is with RMA Management Alliance and one of our wonderful Connected Women of Influence members. So good morning, Cecile. Are you with us?
I am, and good morning. What a wonderful day, Michelle.
And you know, you're saying that I'm going, it's cloudy this morning. It's a Monday morning. I feel like it's the summertime. I have to share, I was at a restaurant that was local here in San Diego on Friday, and it was just filled with parents and children and kids, and everybody was just out and about. And you got the sense the kids were out of school now. So it's a whole different dynamic when you're out and about. Exactly. Well, listen, we're here to talk about what I think is kind of a topic that, you know, people in business don't talk about. And I'm, you know, I know you and I talked about this, you know, diversity in business. And I have to share, because you as a CWI member, you have said to me on numerous occasions, you will say, Michelle, you need a little more color in Connected Women of Influence. And, you know, I just always look at that and go, Cecile, what? You know, I mean, this is just diversity in business and, you know, dealing with, I guess, cultural differences. You know, we try to be diverse in CWI, and I know you deal with this in corporate America, but to share with our listeners, do you mind kind of, what is RMA Management Alliance and what do you do, of course, in 60 seconds or less? We have so much to talk about.
Of course. Well, nothing I do is 60 seconds or less, but I'm a corporate problem solver, and employers call me in, and sometimes legal counsels will call me in with their clients to help them overcome employee issues, and that's a real specialty for me, because so many things go on in the workplace, and a lot of it has to do with diversity issues, and other times it's an inappropriate workplace behavior, and so I'm there to help them, as well as many times that leads me to doing training for them, or the senior team will bring me in to do some strategic work with them, whether it's planning or they're going through a reorg. It just depends, so I'm there for them for whatever they need.
Well, and I got to ask you, I mean, how did, you know, from your corporate background, what did you do when you worked for somebody else? And then how did that lead into where you're dealing with workplace behaviors and kind of the diversity and, you know, employee behavior? What did you do before you got into business for yourself, if I can ask?
Sure, I did work for other companies, and the last company I worked for was BAE Systems, and they I had been a consultant with them, but then they brought me in to handle their employee relations as the manager for that, and I did, and I liked to kind of be on my own, but I came back in because economically I thought I would do better. And I was there. I worked a lot with the leaders of ethics, and it was great fun. But I decided that I liked being outside better so that I wasn't forced to stay in one organization. And I felt I had the skills and the knowledge to be able to go out and help. And it really clarified for me how much I like resolving issues.
Resolving issues are big with people, correct? That is a big one.
Yes.
You know, I know this is a huge topic. You know, we could probably talk for hours, only because I know you and I know me, so we could talk for hours, girl. But, you know, under the subject of diversity, I mean, I've heard you introduce yourself, and you, one of my favorite, you know, introductions that you do is when you talk about how you deal with the quote-unquote Asians in business. I mean, describe that for me, because it's hysterical, and it really is you. I mean, you just, when you go over what all the Asians are in business, if you don't mind sharing.
Oh, surely. Asians, employee relations, investigations, mediations, facilitations, collaborations, and most recently, veteran matriculations.
Ooh,
and
that's a good one.
I know. And last year I was in a bad accident, so I was taking quite a bit of medication.
I love it. Well, I know, only because I've known you for so long, I know the different things that you've seen in business. And, you know, you and I, when we talked about this subject and this topic, I thought, my gosh, we're going on probably a 30-foot umbrella topic. But, you know, when you look at diversity in business, and I think of the 70s, you know, when there were quotas and people trying to bring in more women in business, more minority folks into corporate America, flip it forward now almost 30 years, it's a kind of, do you mind sharing with me, what are some of the things that you see as still issues related to diversity in business? And by diversity, I mean, we could be men and women, cultural, age diversity, correct? I mean, there is a broad kind of like peace under diversity. So what are some of the things that you see, you know, as it relates to diversity in business, either good or not so good today?
Sure. Well, you know, there are a lot of definitions out there about what's diversity and what's inclusion, which is considered to be more literally inclusive than just diversity. And diversity is about differences and similarities. And when you look at the inclusive part of it, it's like achieving a certain kind of positive work environment where everyone is treated fairly and with respect, and that everyone has the same equal access to opportunities and resources, and that they all are given credit and allowed to contribute to the organization's success. Those are kind of the definitions. In reality, Michelle, I tell you, if I were to use my own definition of diversity and inclusion, I would put it in one word, and one word is attitude.
Attitude? Interesting. Attitude. What do you mean by that?
It's about attitude, because so much that we still see in the workplace is there's still allegations and issues around sexual harassment. There's still people saying, because I'm a person of color, I'm not getting the things that I would get otherwise, you know. And so a lot of what makes diversity successful and inclusion successful or not successful is a person's individual attitude about all of these things. And we're born with an attitude of some kind as babies. And then we grow and we get involved with people and teachers, our parents, and they impact our attitudes. They tell us what we can do, what we can't do. If someone tends to discriminate, they teach us about discrimination. And so that continually, as we go through our maturations, these attitudes that we have, whether they're accurate or not, continues to lead us in what we do. Does that make sense at all?
It does make sense, and I guess here's my question. Do you feel like, based on kind of the the companies you're working with and the attitude that you see by your consulting, do you think the attitude is kind of across the board better? Is it about the same? Is it not going to change? I'm just kind of curious how you see it based on, you know, that the topic of attitude. I mean, is it better in corporate America and business today for all of us, whatever our diversity is?
Is it better? That's a really tough question to answer. I see it as getting better because, for example, when I go in and I'm working with employees and I'm working with management, and I've been fortunate, they often give me a lot of latitude when I go in. They just want me to resolve it. Then they don't always care how necessarily, or they don't specify that. And what I do is I look at the people that I'm talking to, and I'm asking them questions because I want to know what their attitude is. And many times they're very angry when I come in and they say, what are you doing here and what are you going to do? And I'll tell them, I understand there's this issue. And I ask a couple of questions which will help determine what their attitude is, which tells me where I need to go. I ask them first, if it's a conflict issue or whatever it is, do you want to resolve it? Mm-hmm. And my second question, because people always say, well, yes, as if, of course we do. And my second question, though, I tell them, hold on a minute before you respond. Are you willing to do whatever it takes?
And so, so can I ask you, are you usually dealing with, I mean, and maybe we need a specific scenario, but are you usually dealing with a manager or someone that, you know, supervises somebody else? Is that where usually the problems happen? Is that kind of a blanket issue? I'm curious.
I'm getting ready to go start with a client I've worked with them in the past, and they've brought me in again because they have three employees that work together that are not getting along. They happen to be all female. They happen to be of three various cultural backgrounds, ethnic groups. Mm-hmm. And the manager is saying, I don't know how to deal with them anymore. And so my plan is to meet with all three of them. I prefer meeting with them individually, but they suggested and request that I meet with them all at the same time. And then I will set up a process by which we will discuss the things that are happening. And then the supervisor and both the supervisor and the overall manager said, okay, then we want you to train us and really discuss about not only attitudes but the diversity aspect of it. How do we keep this from happening anymore? How do we bring everyone together?
And I'm curious with you because, you know, again, not for you to unpack everything. People should call you if they have questions on this, I know, which will give you the chance for that. But you know, when you go into a company like that, how do you actually train people? I mean, it's changing their attitude, right? So how do you go about changing attitudes? I'm just curious. Could you share a couple of things? How do you even do that? People have a mindset. They believe what they believe, right?
Absolutely. They believe what they believe. And a lot of people don't want to change. A lot of people have no clue that they can change, and also a lot of people don't know what are the steps and how is that going to make me vulnerable. Mm-hmm. And so I talk about attitudes because there's a whole component to attitudes. And in reality, just briefly, I'll give you the definition of attitude is a state of being. And the six components are expectations, which are your standards, perception, which is your interpretation of those standards, the thoughts, that is your state of mind, your feelings, which keep your thoughts alive, your energy, which is your exertion, and your action, which is your physical response or your behavior. If the first two are off, in other words, expectations and perceptions, if those two are off, the whole dynamics of that is going to be off. And so I teach them about that, and then I look at, do you really want to, is your attitude working for you well? Mm-hmm. And if not, are you willing to take the steps to change it? And then I talk about how you can change it, and I do a little some exercises with them, because as individuals, we all do this. One of the things we do is we act in a way that we want people to see us. And then we also have work in ways of how we see ourselves. And then third, we work in ways of how we really are. And all three of those areas, Michelle, are subject to interpretation by the people you deal with.
And do you find it takes longer for certain people to kind of embrace this process? Or people,
yes,
once they start kind of quote-unquote seeing the light, you know, they start to change their attitude? I'm kind of curious, do people...
Yes to both. Yes to,
okay,
both of those, because when I start explaining and going into detail with them about, you know, how you see yourself and how others see you and how you really are, we then say, how do people treat you? And sometimes they're treating you exactly the way you want them to see you, but other times they're treating you in a way that says, this is how you really are and I don't like it.
Mm-hmm.
And so I work with people to change that perception. Because often we say, no, their perception is wrong. That's not true. The perception is what they're seeing. What you want to do is not call them and say that you're wrong. You want to show them how to change that perception of you. And a lot of it is saying, okay, Michelle, you and I aren't getting along, and you think I'm really a bad person. But what do I need to do to change that perception? Because that perception isn't really accurate. It's not the real me.
And, you know, Cecile, I'm curious, what do you feel is the biggest misconception or aha people have as a result of going through your training? I mean, you know, I thought one way before you came in and kind of, like, showed me the light, we'll put it that way. I mean, what's the biggest misconception that you've heard feedback from where people say, man, I just didn't realize or I didn't know? Is there something you could kind of mm-hmm. like coined that is a big generality and misconception
yes.
about diversity?
And what a lot of people have said is, I'm so busy focusing on myself, I wasn't focusing on the people I'm interacting with.
Ooh,
and I'm not,
powerful.
I'm not, yeah, and I'm not catering to who they are. In other words, if somebody has a bad attitude, then I treat them based on that bad attitude. And I'm saying, but then that just contributes to that attitude remaining the same. How do you want them to behave when they're around you? And how can you take responsibility for helping to turn that around?
Well, you know, here's a question, because you and I, we're in an association together, you know, that we're members of. One of the things that I guess I've, you know, seen in business is that depending on who I'm working with, whether it's a small business owner or someone in corporate America, cultural backgrounds can play a big role in how you, not quote-unquote get along with somebody, but I deal in communication many times. So, you know, how somebody comes across or the manner in which they speak and, you know, maybe cultural differences, that has such a huge bearing. Where does somebody start if they're finding, okay, I'm in business, I'm on my own, or I'm dealing in corporate America, and somebody has maybe a different cultural background than you, and you sense that there's a little bit of issue, where would somebody start to try to build that bridge or mend that, you know, that how would somebody fix things if that's,
okay.
you know, they've identified there's a problem?
Okay, first of all, because we all are, so in the workplace today, we've got a lot of things going on. We've got the generational issues. We've got a lot of, for the first time in the history of the workplace, we have a lot of multiracial individuals, employees, and people that we meet. And a lot of times, if when we want to know more about them, we can ask, you know, tell me what you do. As you know, because we are in the same organization, we meet from a very professional business standpoint. And I find, you know, I love meeting people, and you know I do that a lot. And so I want to know more about them. And often when we meet people, we do a lot of the talking, and we often don't give the person that who's listening to us an opportunity to speak. One of the first things I ask is, tell me about yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And I leave it very open that they can say, well, here's what I do. And then I say, ah, oh, that's incredible, or whatever it is I respond to. And then I say, and how does what you do professionally impact you personally? And then I get to know more about them. And because who we are personally is what we bring into businesses that we run, or business or other people that we interact with. And I just like to know more, because typically I find there's a connection of some kind. And it's not necessarily based on their ethnic background. It's based on experience and being out in the world, period.
Well, I'm going to ask you a question, because I know we're going deep here, and it's like, you know, you and I said when we were doing this show today that it's like we were maybe going to talk about some of the things people talk about, but what you do is fabulous. I know I've heard such great things about what you do, and I want to ask you personally, and I hope this is okay. This is such a tough question, Cecile, but do you feel, based on you being a Black woman, have you had experiences where people have maybe judged you in business based on your cultural background? And would you share a story with us and the listeners about that?
Sure. Have I had issues? I've had very few issues. And I think a lot of it is because I know I'm a woman of color. And and I know when I walk in the room, people go, that's a woman of color, perhaps. I mean, that's what they see. And that's fine. I hope they also see that I look great, you know, and I'm dressed a certain way. And I don't even focus on that. I truly don't. I've come in saying, there are people here I need to meet. And there are people here that need to meet me. I don't even go. In fact, if I see another person of color, I don't automatically go over there and say, here's a sister over here. I don't ignore that, and I may get to it at some point. But I don't go in, the whole point is, I don't go in with that mindset. I go in that this is either a women's organization, so there are going to be a lot of women here, or there's going to be a mixed male and females. And I go in saying, what is it I want them to know about me? And I often go in asking someone, what is it you do? As far as growing up and all, I didn't know. I didn't have, and I come from a very mixed race background and family, so I didn't have issues there. My mother was fantastic. She says, don't ever blame anything on being a woman or being a black woman. And so I never have. But I dealt with a potential client not too long ago. I went into and he said, you know, we were getting along really well, and I thought, oh, this could be a great, great, great thing. And financially it was going to work, all the things he wanted me to do. And then he asked me a question. He said, you know, there's a lot of people today in today's workforce who, well, they're mixed. They're mixed races. And I said, yes. He said, well, I have a question for you. And somehow underneath I knew I wasn't going to like the question. And the dynamics were going to change. And he said, what do you call those people?
Wow.
And I said, what do you call what people? The mixed race people. And I said, well, I assume you're going to know their names, so you could call them by their names. He said, no, 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 that's not what I mean. And he said, but what category do you put them in? And I said, you don't have enough employees to have contracts where you have to do, you know, the federal contracts, where you have to do the affirmative action plan. So I still don't understand what your question is. And he said, well, I mean, you have to call them something, because once upon a time, if you had black in you, then you were black no matter what else you were. And now what are they? And I said, you know, they're still human beings, and I don't think this is going to work for me. And I left.
Interesting. No, but, you know, that really, that makes a point, though, Cecile, that
it does.
It's like when you say it's attitude, it's just, it's a human being, it's a person, it's like, I know, and this is something that I've seen, I'm going to dovetail a little bit on it, because that was a pretty powerful statement where it's like you had to get out of there because that guy was never going to see the light, am I correct?
No. Right, and it would have been a setup for me.
Yeah. No, very, let's just pause for a second. Wow. But I'm gonna go to something I see, and I'm curious about your opinion of this, because I, you know, again, we're Connected Women of Influences for women, women in business, professional and executive women, and I know many associations that are industry-specific, geared for a specific type of business or profession. Ours is all business-to-business women, but what's still amazing to me is I have interacted with a lot of these women's organizations is how specific they still are to a certain ethnic background, meaning I don't see a lot of cross-pollination among organizations. I still see, I mean, I go into a business group and it's like I see all you know, white people. It's like I go to another organization and it's like it's centered on, you know, Asian business professionals, and there's hardly anybody in there that's not Asian. You know, mm-hmm. You and I have been involved in the Urban League, and I've shared with you that the one day I went to a meeting, and it's like I walked in, I was the only white chick there. And it was, and my attitude was, my God, you know, how does someone, mm-hmm. you know, like you walk into where it's all, you know, all white people? I mean, how mm-hmm. how do you handle that? How do we make cross-pollination work a little more effectively? Because I still don't see that there's diversity in organizations, you know, industry specific mm-hmm. or like ours. What should we do? I'm asking you, girl.
Yeah.
Tell me what we should do. You got the answer. Put it out there.
Well, you know, and I know you're looking to growing CWI and you want to make it very multicultural. There's no doubt in my mind about that. And when you go into organizations that, like the Chambers of Commerce, some of there's a Hispanic Chamber of Commerce, there's the Asian Chamber of Commerce, because these are people that are like-minded, obviously multicultural, but within their own cultures, and it's easy to be there, and there's a lot of benefits to be part of an organization that has your culture there, you know, whether it's a black chamber of commerce and all of those, because it's like-minded and you know, you know who the people are as far as their attitudes in many ways, and you know exactly what you can say and do, and there's a lot of support. And I find that, like, even at CWI, there's not a lot of multicultural there. And a lot of it is, as far as from your side, is reaching out to those other organizations, like going to the Urban League or the Neighborhood House, which is has to do with Hispanics and Blacks, and offering something of benefit to say, I'd love to invite you to be a part of my organization, to at least come for a breakfast or a lunch meeting or an open meeting, those kinds of things. But saying it not just because of the color, but going on and saying, because I'd like to know more about you and how you could fit into our organization professionally, educationally, and really not seeing so much the color differences, but saying, I want a lot of people within my organization who can come together, whether you call it diversity or inclusion, and that the attitude that you put out there says, I really would like you to come and know more about me.
No, I like that. I mean, and thank you, because it's like I do think we kind of put that, you know, vibe out there. On the same token, it has been a bit of a struggle because I've had, you know, people who have come to visit our group and say, wow, you know, a lot of white girls here. And it's like I still look at that and go, yeah, that, you know, not by design, but I don't find, and trust me, I've been around a lot of different women's organizations. You know, you want to kind of go where you feel like it's a good fit. And I keep thinking, how can we be a better fit? You know, how can all of us as women, you know, embrace all women? I mean, we had a panel you know, a few months ago where we had quite a few Asian businesswomen on the as panelists. Mm-hmm. Not by design, it happened. And it was just fascinating to me to hear their different perspectives on maybe more of a subtle way they approach how they think in business versus others. And I was fascinated, and I learned a lot by it. So,
sure.
I mean, no confusion. We can learn a lot from each other as women to kind of, you know that each of us comes from a different perspective and background. So, sorry, I got on my high horse a little bit there,
yeah,
didn't I?
Yeah, that's fine. Yeah, that's fine. And the other thing is sometimes is to reach out, like you reach out to me. And it's okay because you know me, and you could say, Cecile, if there's anybody else that you think we'd love to have someone else who is a woman of color, I mean, you can say that to me because you know me.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and you know how I will say, hey, I'm going to bring some more color here. You bet I will. You know, and I'll do the best I can. And at the same time, the rest of the members saying, please bring guests. And, you know, we want to be as multicultural as we can. So please, if you know people who might be interested, at least in coming to see maybe our CEO roundtable and things like that, then encourage everybody else to do the same thing.
Good advice. Good advice. And I really have to say, it's like, you know, I look at this and go, man, I've dovetailed into just changing the word diversity and thinking it is attitude. You know, so
it
what
is.
Are, I mean, just for our listeners, what are a couple of thoughts that you might share as, because we're on the downhill slide here, but what, mm-hmm. what might be two little tips or suggestions that you might give, you know, our listeners and women in business, since we're under the Connected Women of Influence umbrella, as far as what they can do to kind of take on maybe that attitude of embracing diversity a little more. Give me a couple final thoughts.
Sure, sure. Well, your attitude is who you are. It leads. So if it's a good attitude, it leads. If it's a bad attitude, it leads. And one of the things is when you talk attitude, you're also talking about ethics and your whole being and love and trust and faith and all of those things. And I think a lot of times if we have more faith in ourselves, then we can really be out there saying, this, you know, I love you because you're you, you know, not because of the fact that you're of any color or multicultural background. We all are multicultural, you know, but the bottom line is saying, here's who I am. I want you to know who I am because I love you, you know, and I'm not saying you say that initially, but, you know, I love being out there. I love meeting other people. I love knowing who they are and see how we can all work together and come together in a very loving way.
And on that note, dear, that was a great way to wrap up. It's like I just want to say to everybody out there, Cecile, thank you for being on the show today. I want to say thank you to our listeners for listening in. And, Cecile, you shared some great information. I mean, this topic, again, I know we're going to keep unpacking this. So I hope all of you will listen to our Women Leading the Way radio show next Monday morning at 9 a.m. I want to say thank you, and thanks, Cecile. for being with us, and I wish all of you a great week and a little bit of inspiration on taking on a new attitude under the umbrella of diversity. Thanks for being with us today. Women Leading the Way is produced by Connected Women of Influence, the premier private membership organization where like-focused, business-to-business executive and professional women connect, collaborate, and cultivate a vast network of high-level affiliations, resources, and professional relationships. For more information about Connected Women of Influence, please visit our website at connectedwomenofinfluence.com.